big welcome tonight, okay? Come on, come on. Thank you.
Laying on the road, there was blood everywhere. We recall, we
that we say is precious. So why does the Bible call the blood of Jesus precious? I would attempt to do that tonight. I'm a long way short from where I could would love to be to describe the blood of Jesus tonight. I will attempt by the help of the Lord. I'm sure you're aware of the fact tonight that the blood of Jesus is under attack.
Yep.
The world, the church,
yep,
the devil are attacking the doctrine of the redemption of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Man.
They're even trying to take the blood out of our song books and even Bibles of the right. If you have a Bible tonight that does not have the word blood in Colossians 1:14, you've got the wrong Bible.
Right.
That old book said we're redeemed with the precious blood of Christ.
Amen.
The NIV is what I'm talking about.
Yep.
And you want a little plainer than that. To leave out the blood. I don't want a Bible that leaves out 80 verses
Amen.
With the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Why would a person do that? I don't want a song book that sings in our old song.
Amen.
The blood of a new song. There's a, I think it was a great big Methodist hymn or Presbyterian one. They wrote, had a new song book printed. And there's an old song called Jesus, Thy Blood and Righteousness. In the new song book, that song, the name of it is changed to Jesus, Thy Robe of Righteousness. And they would not leave that song. You know why? Because big shot rich people go to that church and might be offended at Jesus, Thy Blood and Righteousness. I mean, big rich people don't want to sing on Sunday morning. And they live in affluent neighborhoods and make six-figure incomes and live in million-dollar houses and drive, a $100,000 car. But I don't want to get in there and sing. They're just a little bit too big shot to sing about old slaughterhouse religion of the blood. So it's changed to Jesus, Thy Robe of Righteousness. I was going down the road one day, Brother Chris, and I was out of range in our stations, and I flipped the radio on. And it was a nice, sort of a big shot Christian FM station. And a guy come on there, some Yankee fat voice, and he come on there and he sung, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. And that saved a man like me.
Mm.
I went, I thought, listen, you know what? That little brat was ashamed to say he was a wreck.
That's right.
He would not say he was a wreck. I thought, Lord, who do you think you are? I thought, I was going down the road and I thought, I'm a wretch.
Yeah.
It saved a wretch like me.
Amen.
I don't even know if I know what a wretch is, but I am one.
Amen.
And you are too.
Yep.
Y'all are a bunch of wretches.
Amen.
I don't know if anybody knows what that means, but it just wretch. You can tell what it means by saying. I mean, sorry, good for nothing, low down. Ain't fit to shoot. And brother, that's what we are. And it saved a wretch.
Amen.
Like me.
Amen.
Where do we get this idea that we're just a little bit too uppity?
Mm.
Mom, you say, they're too big for our britches to sing about the blood. Where do we get this stuff of that slaughterhouse religion? And you know, in our church, we don't sing like that. I'll tell you something here tonight, bless your little heart.
Yeah.
If you ever step your foot through God's pearly gates and walk on Gold Street and live in God's house, it will be because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I'm telling you tonight, what can wash away my sin?
Nothing.
Amen. What can make me whole again?
Yeah.
Nothing.
Amen.
Oh, precious is the flow. Precious is the flow. Precious is the flow. That makes me white as snow. No other fountain I know. Nothing but
Amen.
The Lord. I'm telling you tonight, thank the one thing standing between my soul and burning in hell.
That's right.
And that's the blood.
Amen.
That's it, brother. That's it. The blood that stands between our soul and hell.
Amen.
We are criticized for that today. I want to talk about this evening why the blood of Jesus is precious. I want to say, one man said that it was his death. One well-known preacher preached that it was the death of Christ that saves us, not his blood.
Mm.
And that is heresy. That is not true. He did die, but he would have just died a natural birth death. Right. There would have been Amen.
Amen.
The blood had to be shed.
Right.
And you know that Jesus had God's blood running through his veins. He didn't have Joseph's blood. Joseph was his father.
Amen.
No matter what the NIV said, look to the
Amen.
Jesus was the Son of God Almighty.
Amen.
And he had God's blood Amen. Running
Amen.
Through his.
Amen.
But when he put his arms up there on the cross and it dripped on the ground, it was his blood
Amen.
That paid the price for our sins.
Amen.
I would say tonight it's precious. Number one, because of what it cost.
Yeah.
The blood is precious because of what it cost. God cost God his Son. It cost heaven his most precious jewel of heaven. Was Jesus when he left heaven and became the sacrifice for our sin. Now, some of you fellas, when you got engaged, you went and bought, and you spent all your money and savings, went to debt, and everything else, and bought your wife to be the biggest jewel you could find. I mean, you bought it with that diamond and gold. I mean, you put everything in it, and you gave it to her, and you said, I'll kill you if you lose it. I said, that's not worth it. It made my life saving money for what I paid for this. It's worth a lot. That was a jewel, and it's expensive. It costs something. It costs something. And a lady come in one time, and she had on this big diamond, about that big round, and all the ladies said, oh my goodness, that's the most beautiful diamond I've ever seen. Where'd you get that? She said, that's the famous Johnson diamond. And it comes with a curse. And they said, really? What's the curse? She said, Mr. Johnson. And we won. I told you, son, Jesus, his blood was more precious than any jewel on this earth.
Amen.
His blood was more precious than any jewel of gold. Not like silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. Not on the cattle on a thousand hills, but his son's blood cost more than that.
Amen.
God owns all the silver and all the gold.
Amen.
But his blood cost Amen. More than
yeah.
that. It cost God his son. You know, I said one time this fellow, this preacher, he always wanted to go up to the Holy Land. And every he gets to go, you know, they take trips. These preachers take big trips over there every year. And they go to Jerusalem and they tour the Holy Land. They go to all these places. And he wanted to go real bad. And he couldn't get to go, didn't have the money, couldn't take the time off. And one of his men got to go on one of them trips. And while he's over there, they're over in Jerusalem somewhere, and they're selling little trinkets. And, you know, they sell souvenirs, and they sell stuff. And he found one, he said he called his pastor. And he bought it and paid for it, and he put it in his suitcase and took it all the way back home with it. And he's over there, and he told his preacher, he said, preacher, I just wanted you to know. He said, I know you never got to go, but he said, they took us to Calvary. Well, they took us over there where the Lord died and shed his blood. And he said, preacher, I thought about you. And he said, I thought about how you really wanted to go, and I bought you this and give it to you. That preacher took that thing to church Sunday morning, and he got up and preached about it. And he got up and he preached, and he said, folks, he said, I never got to go over there, but brother so-and-so went. And he went over there, and he said he thought about me when he's over there, and he brought me that gift. And he said, I'm glad somebody thought about me at Calvary. He said, hallelujah, I'm glad my man thought about me. And then he preached on, somebody thought about me
Amen.
At Calvary. I'm going to tell you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, many, many years ago, back before me and you was ever even thought of, somebody thought about you and me at Calvary.
Amen.
He looked down through the ages of time. He looked down through the history. He looked across Europe. He looked across the Mediterranean Sea, across the Atlantic Ocean, 2,000 years into the future, into a little place called Sam Texas, and said, I stretched up my hand and shed the blood for all of us here tonight.
Hey.
I'm telling you, hallelujah. That'd make a backslid Presbyterian run out.
Hey.
I'm telling you tonight, it's precious because of what it costs.
Amen.
You know, it's more expensive to save the world than it was to make it. God spoke the world into it. He just spoke it into existence. But to save it, his son had to die.
Yeah.
It's precious because of what it cost. Now, you know what? I would die for my kids. I'm sure all of y'all would. You'd die for your boy or your girl. But I wouldn't let my son or my daughter die for somebody else.
Right.
I would want, especially their enemies, especially for people that cuss them,
But God so loved the world that He let His Son die on the cross for our sins. Thank God.
Amen.
It's precious tonight because of what it cost. But I'm going to say secondly tonight, it's precious because of what it claims. The blood is precious because of what it claims. You say, what does it claim, preacher? Well, it claims that there is a fountain, they say, filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's vein, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stain. That's a claim, brother.
Amen.
That's a claim. Do you realize tonight what a claim that is? Do you realize that what we're claiming tonight is that anybody in the state of Texas can walk in that door tonight and sit down right there? I don't care if they've murdered 1,000 people.
Right.
I don't care if they've been the biggest drunk in the United States, murderer, liar, reprobate, and ever sin you can imagine committed. And I can stand up here and say there's a fountain tonight that'll wash all your sins.
Amen.
And in the sight of God, you will become sinless and perfect and spotless. That's a claim.
Amen.
That's a claim.
That's a claim.
God,
yes.
Have you ever thought about what a claim
made?
Oh, my God, mercy. But that claim is the only way to God. They said many, many years ago, way back in the 20s or 30s, that all the great religions of the world met up in Chicago, and they said that the Buddhists and the Muslims and the Hindus, and they had a representative from all the world's religions, and they was going to try to see if they could, you know, bring them together and see what they had in common, and let each one state this and that. And Dr. Joe Cook went, and Joel Cook, right, and said he went and represented Christianity at that meeting. And then different ones were saying this, and they were saying, you know, if you comply with Allah's wishes, and if you'll do this, you might reincarnate. And they was making all these big claims. And you know what old Joe Cook did? He took a woman up there, and he said to this woman, he said, this woman has killed somebody. She's got the blood of another human being on her hand. She's a murderer. He said, what can you religions offer this woman? And they couldn't say nothing. They said, well, I need no hope for her. Kill her. Let her die. And I said, well, maybe she can reincarnate and try to live a better life next time. And one said this and one said that. And they said, well, what can you give her? And he said, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin.
Amen.
I pray that every religion in the world got a claim like that.
Amen.
There ain't nothing I can claim to wash sins away. How can the blood of a man 2,000 years ago wash sins away here in 2015? I don't understand it. How does water quench thirst? I don't know. But I drink it, my thirst is quenched. How does the blood quench sin?
Amen.
I don't know.
Amen.
God.
Amen.
Oh,
woo. Amen.
I don't shut up, preacher. I'm going to run up
there
with my blood. I'm going
to run. Amen.
He would not let him have it. That was not the currency that he would accept.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter what the guy offers.
Yep.
I'm going to tell you tonight, yes, Lord God, brother. One of these days, when a man goes up to God and he says, God, let me in heaven. And I've been a good person all my life. And the Lord said, No.
Yeah.
Only take the blood.
Yep. Amen.
And the Lord, he said, only take the blood. Sure. And the man said, but I'm a preacher. He said, No.
Amen.
He said, but Lord, I try to treat people right. No. Listen, they got one currency.
Yeah.
That's the one currency.
Hey,
amen. I'm telling you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, brother, Listen, brother. Listen, see, yeah. Hunger will find Bin Laden before they find the phone. Yeah. Amen. Amen. That's right, brother. They'll arrive at Fort General Bath. Right, brother, before they'll find any bones of Jesus. Lady Lulu will dress modest and then, brother, pray for an hour a day before they'll find the bones of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Donald Trump will stand in line and get food stamps before they'll find the bones of Jesus. That's right, brother. Justin Bieber will have to get him a part-time job. Donald, when they get his feet, before they find his bones, his bones ain't in there.
Amen.
Come there and let's be polite to a white girl before they find any bones of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Say amen.
Amen.
That's right. They ain't gonna find his bones.
Right.
Amen. Tiger Woods will be the boat husband of the year before they find the bones of Jesus. Or us right there. Make somebody mad. I will tell you tonight, it's precious because of what he claimed.
Amen.
But I said further tonight, it's precious because of what it cures.
Amen.
It's precious because of what it cures. Would you be free from your burden of sin?
Amen.
Yes. Think about that. It's precious because of what it cures.
Yeah.
The cure of sin. You know, everybody wants to change. Everybody, wherever we go now, everybody wants to change.
Yeah.
Here it is. No, next week, boy, it's on. You know, you got Thanksgiving, and you got Christmas, then you got New Year, and then what? Everybody goes on that, right? You're going to get fat. Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's, and then everybody goes on that. This fella, he said, man, I got to have a change, Doc. He went to the doctor, and the doctor said, put him on 2,000 calories a day. Said, you can't eat but 2,000 calories a day, and that's a lot for you. He said, if you're going to lose weight, that's what we're going to do. Come back and see me in 6 weeks. And he went, did pretty good. Come back to the doctor, and he got on the scale, and he gained 15 pounds. Doc said, I don't understand that. Have you been eating your 2,000 calories every day? He said, yeah. He said, well, I don't understand how you got it. He said, I don't either, doctor. Less than 5,000 every night, hey? You know, everybody wants a change. That's the one time we had in our church. He was an usher. He was a good man, loved the Lord. But he was completely bald-headed. And he wasn't that old. He just lost his hair. I mean, slick, shiny bald. He had a little bit of hair right over here. I mean, slick, brother. I mean, shiny, Lord. I thought he looked fine like that. He wore a nice suit every Sunday. He shook people's hands and helped them in. One Sunday morning, we came in there and somebody said, Brother Dan, who is that right there? And I looked, and honest, he went and he thought he was going to go get him a hair piece and put it on. And honest to goodness, I thought it was Conway Twitty. He looked like Conway Twitty. He didn't just get a little piece right here, but he had a poof out here like that.
Come way out here.
I said, Lord, that's Conway. What is he? And you couldn't, Brother Chris, honest to goodness. And I didn't, ain't nothing wrong with that. I mean, somebody wants to do that. Ain't nothing to do different than having false teeth. But, you couldn't check. I couldn't tell you how about life. I said, hey, brother. Buddy, you got to change. Man, it's not a change. Everybody wants to change, don't they? Yeah. He had a change. And you know, he never did one. No more. A little more. One time. That's it. I guess he just couldn't stand the ridicule. I mean, it's so drastic. And he doesn't do it again. But anyway, everybody wants to change. Ain't that right? Everybody, you put them in rehab. Somebody gets on drugs, we put them in rehab. Rehab. I'm not against rehab. I ain't even against alcohol program stuff. Anything to help somebody get off drugs out. Hallelujah. Good. But I'll tell you, that ain't no real cure.
Amen.
Rehab ain't gonna do it.
Amen.
They've got some cure on the inside.
Yeah.
Thank God. That's
right.
You know what? This head man had these hogs one time. Brother Chris, he had these old hogs, and he spent all day washing them hogs. He got soap, bucket, water. He scrubbed them down. He sprayed them all. Ain't got them all. They smelled good. He put baby powder on them hogs. And he went over to his neighbor. He said, you got to come over here. my hog. I got the best smelling, cleanest bunch of hogs you ever seen in your life. And by the time they got there, they'd been right back in that mud hole, and they was filthy.
Yep.
And you know what happened? That's what cleaning up on the outside. Cleaning up on the outside. Look, if all you do is quit your outward sin and nothing happens right here, it ain't never going to last. Them hogs, you know why them hogs went back in that mud? That's the nature of a hog. A hog's nature is mud. They like mud. Now, sheep, brother, is different. Now, little old sheep, boy, they might fall in the mud. You might push them in the mud. You might drag them through the mud. But they'll jump up like that and start shaking them limbs and shaking that stuff off. There's something in a sheep's nature that don't like mud. Well, that's the difference from the blood of Jesus. There's what cleanses our heart. There's something in us that don't want to be in the mud. There's something in us that don't want to live in the mud. And the sin of this world, or it cures something that nothing else in this world could ever cure.
Amen.
See, rehab, all rehab does is help you outwardly, and I'm not against that. I'm not. I mean, anything can help you. Hallelujah. But it ain't never going to change you on the inside.
All right, brother.
Gonna live off this parrot. And he wanted his parrot real bad. And he paid a lot of money for it. This top bird talk. And he bought it from this guy, and this guy told him, he said, I'm gonna warn you right now. He said, this thing cusses. He said, really? He said, I'm telling you where you learned it. This parrot's got a filthy mouth, he'd cuss a blue streak whenever he takes a notion to it. And that guy said, well, I'll handle that. He took him home, put him in his cage. He had company over one day. Somebody comes up and goes, ding, 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 Polly, one cracker. He don't look like that, buddy, here it comes. He's blanking, blank, blanking, blank, blank. And I mean, he let that guy have it. That man got mad. He said, I'll teach you a thing or two. I'm telling you, brother, he grabbed that thing like that. He went and opened the freezer and stuck it in that freezer. He said, now you're going to stay there till you learn a lesson. Blank! Closed him up in the freezer. He left me in there a couple hours. He said, I'm going to go see if it helped him. He opened up that freezer door. And he grabbed him out. He said, all right, you learned your lesson? Yeah, I learned my lesson. He said, you ain't going to cuss no more? He said, I just want to know one thing. He said, what? He said, what did that turkey do? I'll make sure I don't do what that turkey did. He left him in there. That's rehab. It might help you out a little while, but it'll never cleanse you from sin. It'll never change your nature.
Amen.
It'll never make a new person born on the inside of you. My Lord, what a cure.
Amen.
Lord in mercy, ladies and gentlemen. I'm telling you tonight, it's a cure. It's a cure.
Yes.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood.
Amen.
Hebrews 9 verse 14 says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself for that spot to God, purge your conscience from death word to serve the living God.
Amen.
Ain't nothing or nobody else like it. That's one time there's this little boy, the Sunday school teacher said, is there anything God can't see? And the little boy raised his hand and said, yes, there is. And the teacher said, now, son, you know God. See, he said, is anything God can't see? He said, yeah. He said, what is it? And the little boy said, my sins are under the blood.
Amen.
That's true, brother. Ooh. I'm glad God don't see them. You might see them, but thank God he don't.
Amen.
The brethren might see them, but Lord of God, he don't. Your kin folks might not ever forgive you. And they may hold it over your head forever, but the Lord don't see them. They're not just covered, they're gone. They're gone. They don't exist. They're forever, ever, ever gone. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm glad to say it's precious because of what he
killed. Amen.
Amen.
I will say, I read this story. It touched my heart. They said back in the war in Japan. Japan took a lot of our boys captive and kept them on ships. A lot of them died. There's a young man from Pennsylvania had got saved when he's young. He got saved at church when he was 7 or 8 or 10 years old. And he backslid, got away from God. Went and joined the army when he was about 18, and he got him in there. And before he left, his mama told him, you know, he said, you better remember God. You better remember. And he backslid, didn't care nothing about God, but he knew what was right. He got out there and he got took captive, became a prisoner of war. And so that prisoner of war, they had them out there. And what they'd do, they'd work them on them islands. And then they'd take them out, put them on a ship, and go way out here, pretty far out in the water, and drop that anchor where they couldn't escape. And they'd just leave them out there all night. Next day, bring them back in and work them all day. And them boys, as young, skinny, old American boys, and the skin get dark as that piano almost, and you couldn't hardly tell them from the Japanese. They'd shave their head. They looked, that their skin was turned brown as that right there. And them little boys out there on that ship, one night, they said, he told these boys, he said, buddy, I'm getting out of here tonight. Because every night, the guards on that ship get drunk. And he said, when they get drunk tonight, I'm jumping in that water. And they said, you'll never make it. And he said, well, we're going to die anyway. I might as well try. I might not make it, but I'm going to die on this. They're going to kill us when they get done with us. He said, I'm jumping out tonight. Sure enough, that night come, he was frail already. He was hungry already. He was skinny and tired. And that night, the sailors got drunk, and the Japanese guys over there had a party. And sure enough, he climbed up over the edge of that ship and dove in that water. He swam, and he swam. He floated. He turned on his back. He done everything. He thought he wasn't going to make it. And finally, right about the dawning of the morning, when it just got daylight there, he crawled up on the beach and just laid there with his face down in that sand, almost dead. And he laid there for a little while, and he could hear something way off in the distance, in the jungle. And he said, the story said that he got up and he thought, he said, that's not Japanese. He said, that's American. He said, we must have a base. He said, I hear American song. I hear drums. I hear the trombone, the trumpet. And he said, we must have a base. We must have a base. And he kept going towards it. He went through the weeds and through that jungle. His feet were cut. His arms were bleeding. He went through that jungle, fighting through there, all exhausted. I mean, dehydrated, all ready to pass out at any minute. And he said, he come out there, and he finally, sure enough, there was an American base on that island. And he crawled up there like that, and the barrier to make it, and stood there like that at the gate. He said, there's a big old soldier come out there with a right MP rifle like that right there. And he come out and he said, "Halt! Who goes there?" And he said, "I'm a soldier." He said, "I'm an American. Let me in. Let me in." And the guy said, "What's the password?" You know, they'd change the password about every day or so. So we'll let nobody in unless they knew the password. He said, "I've got orders to shoot anybody that don't know the password." "What is it?" And he said, "Look, man, I don't know what the password is. God help us, friend." He said, "I'm dying. I'm soldier, blank and blank, 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 so and such a number. Let me in." He said, "I've got orders to shoot anybody that don't know the password." "What's the password?" He said, "My God, man, I don't know. I don't know the password. Please, I'm dying." He said, "Get ready to die, friend." And he held that gun like that. And that boy said, "Will you let me pray?" He said, "Yeah, go ahead." He said, "Will you let me pray for it now?" He said, "Go ahead and pray." He got down and he said, "Dear God," he said, "I've been a sorry Christian. God, I'm sorry I backslid. God, I've been wicked. And God, I've been mean as a devil. And God, I'm sorry right now. Lord, this man getting ready to shoot me right now. And God, I'm going to be coming to an eternity. Lord, please don't remember nothing good that I've done. God, don't remember nothing bad that I've done. Lord, just remember the blood." "Lord, just remember the blood." "Amen." And he looked up and the soldier said, "Come on in." He said, "What?" He said, "That's the password." And they had chose that day to have the word blood as the password. Yeah. Because those Japanese couldn't say it right with their accent. And when he said blood, the man said, "He must be an American. Open up and let him in." I heard that and I like to shout it my head off. I said, "Lord, I got one of these days. Amen. One of these blessed days. I'll preach my last sermon. I'll sing my last song. Come to church the last time we ever go. And we'll stand before God. I'm not going to stand there and say, 'Lord, I was this and I was that,' because I'm not." Yep. And you're not either. Right. We've all sinned. Amen. You know what I'm going to say? "Lord, remember
cleanse you from your sin. You don't have to go around with a guilty conscience the rest of your life. You may be living immoral, shacking up somebody, on drugs, lying in a lifestyle of sin. Why don't you get out of your seat tonight and come down here and say, I claim the precious blood of Christ. That's simple.